Wow. Good morning, everybody. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you today, and thanks to everyone who's joining us online this morning. We'll continue to live stream our services at 9 and 11, so if you have family that's far away that might want to turn in, please just share that through our Facebook page. A few announcements. Our first Bible Sunday, for those that are in third grade or haven't received one in third grade, can join us on February 14th, Valentine's Day, and we'll be handing those out to the third graders during our Sunday worship. Also, we'd like to welcome this morning Elena Grace Hart, who will be baptized in between the services at 10 o'clock today. Also, there is information about a Lenten adult education opportunity with the Max Lucado book, Anxious for Nothing. If you're interested in that, just ask that you sign up for that in advance so that we can order the materials. Thank you to those who are helping to make our service possible today, to Mark and Mark in the back in our tech and sound booth, and also Jason and Linda providing us with music. I invite you to stand as you are able, and we'll begin our worship. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God whose voice is upon the waters, whose mercy is poured out upon all people, whose goodness cascades over all creation. Amen. Let us confess our sin, trusting in the abundant grace of God. Holy God, you search us and know us. You are acquainted with all our ways. We confess that our hearts are burdened by sin, our own sins and the broken systems that bind us. We turn inward, failing to follow your outward way of love. We distrust those who are not like us. We exploit the earth and its resources and fail to consider generations to come. Forgive us, gracious God, for all that we have done and left undone. Even before the words are on our tongues, you know them. Receive them in your divine mercy. Amen. How vast is God's grace! Through the power and promise of Christ Jesus, our sins are washed away, and we are claimed as God's own beloved. Indeed, we are forgiven. In the wake of God's forgiveness, we are called to be the beloved community, living out Christ's justice and the Spirit's reconciling peace. Amen.
Take my life that I may be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them
of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Amen. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we pray. We continue with the prayer of the day. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, by grace alone you call us and accept us in your service. Strengthen us by your Spirit and make us worthy of your call through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first reading is from the book of Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 and verse 10. The book of Jonah raises a serious question when the prophet Jonah is given a one-sentence message. Nineveh will be destroyed in 40 days. Much to Jonah's dismay, the people of Nineveh repent. The point of the story is to get the reader to wrestle with the question, on whom should God have mercy? The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim it, the message that I tell you. So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Word of God, word of life. Our second reading is from 1 Corinthians, chapter 7, verses 29 through 31. Paul does not disapprove of marriage or other human social institutions. He does, however, want Christians to live in the present in fervent anticipation of God's future, which even now has dawned through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the word as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. Word of God, word of life.
Eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Do we have any coffee drinkers here this morning? How about tea drinkers? A couple of you. Some of us like both. In the morning, there is nothing better than a hot cup of coffee or a hot drink. A strong cup of homemade Dunkin' Donuts coffee with a couple equals and cream is the perfect way to start the day caffeinated. Let's say you're holding a cup of coffee, and when someone comes along, they bump into you or shakes your arm, making you spill your coffee everywhere. Why did you spill the coffee? Well, because someone bumped into me, of course. Wrong. That's the wrong answer. The right answer is you spilled the coffee because there was coffee in your cup. Had there been tea in your cup, you would have spilled tea. Whatever is inside your cup is what will spill out. Therefore, when life comes and shakes you on the arm, which will happen, we know it will, whatever is inside of you will spill out. It's easy to fake it until you get too rattled. So the question of the day for you is this: what's in your cup? Let's talk about your cup. Is your cabinet full, like mine, full of various cups? I have all shapes and sizes. There's this one, "I love my dog" mug. How many of you here love your dog? A couple of you. Our pets are one of God's greatest creations. They offer us unconditional love. The next one up is this. It's one that I use here at church in my office. Anyone notice what it is? St. Olaf Lutheran Church. We use a lot of these here in the office. And one thing about this specific cup is that on the bottom of it is a crack, a tiny crack. But crack mugs, they still work, don't they? They still have a purpose. And I can't think of a better image for the church than this, that God can still use us at St. Olaf with our imperfections. How about this one? It says, "I smile because we're sisters. I laugh because there's nothing you can do about it." I have the best sister, and she gave me this cup. But I'm not so sure that I am the best sister to her. Relationships are tough, aren't they? How about this little one here? It says Iowa on it. It's a little baby cup. This is the one that my daughter Rachel, 8 years old, has her coffee in it, which is really just hot chocolate with lots of marshmallows in it, and she drinks that away. There's a cup that I received at Christmas that says "too hot to handle," and it has a hot sauce on it. Isn't hot sauce so delicious? But don't we all have days like this? Days that we are extra spicy, hot-headed, and stubborn. So what's in your cup? What's on the outside? What do you show your family and friends? The outside part is a part of who you are. It's a part of who God made you to be. You are a Christian who loves creation, from the little dogs to the Milky Way. You are cracked but useful. You are a sister or a brother or a spouse or a child. You are an Iowan. Woohoo! You are loved by others, especially God, but you can be too stubborn for your own good. God sees that too. God sees your outside, but he cares much more about your inside. So when life gets a little tough, what spills over? Is it joy, anger, gratefulness, bitterness? Is it peace, harsh words, or humility? Here's the best news. You get to choose. God gives you the opportunity every day, free will, to choose. By God's grace, we get to wake up every morning. We have a new breath. You get to choose what will spill out of you. I look to our first disciples today. On their outside, their title was fishermen. And that's a tough job. Anyone that's been out on the open waters knows that it is dangerous work. There are waves. There are other boats. There are your boatmates who might argue and have conflict. There, you can toss in some sea creatures and storms, and if you have motion sickness, there are a lot of what-ifs that are beyond our control on the open seas. That is the outside looking at you. But if you could see that these men had risked their entire life every single day, they had to be brave, but Jesus saw even more than that. He saw more than what was on the outside. He saw beyond their title as fishermen and vocation. He saw their hearts. He saw men that would be equipped with gifts and abilities to serve. He saw grace and loving within them, so he called them with two words. What were they? Two words. Follow me. Take your cup. Take your life. Take all of you, inside and outside, and come on, follow me. Be blessed to be a blessing. Let yourselves overflow with God's goodness. And are we given that same invitation? That God sees beyond our titles and vocations and our outside, and God sees our hearts. Are you equipped to serve? Of course you are. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and cup, says Psalm 16. Dr. Dwight Jones says that there are 32 cups mentioned in the Bible. In the Old Testament, cup had been applied to the blessedness, God's ability to provide and to give joy to his children. It is one thing for us to say, we love the Lord, when it's easy. But to have hearts that cry out to God, you have this, Lord, when we are in a heaping pile of a mess, that's how you know it is God's Spirit talking. When we come to the table for Holy Communion, are your hearts illumined with God's goodness? Are we ready to receive the cup of blessing that Jesus gives us? And do we acknowledge that we have favor with God at the table? We are forgiven at the table. We have his grace. We have his love. We have salvation. And really, what more could we ever ask for? What more could we ever achieve? Last week, you were called to listen. And this week, you are called and invited to follow. We read this gospel at our Wednesday night confirmation class. I'll admit it was a tough night. The kids were extra rambunctious and noisy. And if you've ever taught middle school kids, you know what I mean by that. We read the Gospels differently. In Luke, the Gospel, the disciples had fished all night. They are exhausted. They are hungry. They want to go home. And Jesus appears to them the next morning and says, cast out your nets. Now imagine they are out fishing. And sometimes when you fish, there is one spot that you start, and that is not the spot where the fish are biting. So what do? You move on to a new location. Now imagine these disciples have moved all over the Sea of Galilee all night, no fish, but Jesus says, cast out your net again. And when they pull in those nets, they break because they're overflowing with fish. But Mark, the gospel that you heard today, it simply says it very succinct. The men were fishing, they were throwing their nets, Jesus sees them and says, follow me. So I asked the kids, which Jesus would you follow? The one who did the miracle first, or the one who simply said, follow me? The kids all said, we want to see the miracle. And I guess we would all want proof first before we drop everything to follow Christ. I asked the kids to then write down 10 things that God asks of us when we are called and asked to follow him. In other words, what does it mean to be a disciple? And kids have great insight, and here were some of their best answers. Be kind. Give others respect. Worship. Practice gratitude. Have good manners. Work together. Appreciate everything. Follow the Ten Commandments. Try your very best. Persevere. Have faith. Read your Bible. Pray. Do good. Be there when people really need you. Show how you care. Take care of yourselves. Love other people. Aren't those great answers? Christ fills our cup so that we can pour out our blessings onto others. Whatever is inside is what will spill out. How will God work in us to further his kingdom? To know your answer, you have to look here first. How's your cup? What's in your cup? And I pray that we are filled with God's goodness to know that God has a purpose for each of us. And he has called you with those two words, follow me. And you listened. You are here. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able.
Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my and never be the same? Will you risk the hostile stare? Should your life attract or scare? Will you let me answer prayer in you and you? If I but call your name, will you quell the fear inside and never be the same? Will you use the faith you found to reshape the world around through my sight and touch and sound in you and you in me?
Let us profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue with the prayers of intercession. I will say, let us pray, and your response will be, have mercy, O God. Guided by Christ, made known to the nations, let us offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. For church throughout the world, for pastors and teachers, for deacons and deaconesses, and for musicians and servers, that all proclaim the good news of God's reconciling love. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For skies and seas, for birds and fish, for favorable weather and clean water, and for all well-being of creation, that God raise up advocates and scientists to guide our care for all of the earth. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For those who provide leadership in our cities and around the world, for nonprofit and non-governmental organizations, for planning commissions and homeless advocates, that God inspire all people in the just use of wealth. Let us pray. For those who are sick, distressed, or grieving, for the outcast and all who await relief. And on this day, we remember before you Judy Van Alstyn, Curtis Stover and family, Teresa Copps, Marilyn Wingerson, Carolyn Proheska, Charlie Clausen, Donna Smith, Josh Honies, John Enderlin, Lois Denclaw, and the family and friends of Steve Krause. That in the midst of suffering, that your peace and mercy will surround them, God. Let us pray. For our congregation at St. Olaf, for our community in Fort Dodge, for families big and small, and for the organizations that meet here during the week, that God's steadfast love serve as a model for all relationships. Let us pray. In thanksgiving for our ancestors in the faith whose lives serve as an example of the gospel lived out, that they point us to the salvation that comes to us through Christ. Let us pray. Merciful God, hear the prayers of your people, spoken or silent, for the sake of the one who dwells among us, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace with an air high five or a peace sign. You may be seated. At this time, we will receive our offering for the mission and ministry at St. Olaf. As you leave today, you're invited to leave your offering in the plate in the back. And if you're joining us online, we'll provide you with the PayPal link in the comments section. Please stand as you're able. Let us pray. O God, receive these gifts as you receive us, like a mother receives her child with arms wide open. Nourish us anew in your tender care and empower us in faithful service to tend to others with this same love, through Jesus Christ, our saving grace. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the God of all creation, in whose image we are made, who claims us and calls us beloved, who strengthens us for service, give you reason to rejoice and be glad. The blessing of God, sovereign Savior and Spirit, be with you today and always. Amen.
Sent forth by God's blessing, our true faith confessing, the people of God from this dwelling take leave. The supper has ended, oh, now be extended the fruits of this service in all who believe. The seed of Christ's teaching, receptive souls reaching, shall blossom in action for God and for all. Your grace shall incite us, your love shall unite us to work for your kingdom and answer your call. With praise and thanksgiving to God ever living, the tasks of our everyday life we will face. Our scythe ever sharing, in love ever caring, embracing God's children, the whole human race. With your feast you feed us, with your light now lead us, unite us as one in this life. Then may all the living with praise and thanksgiving give honor to Christ and his name that we bear.
Go in peace. Christ is with you. Thanks be to God.